All right, well, good morning. Welcome again to New Life. And we're at the brink of 2020. Can you believe that? 2020. I mean, we've all been looking forward to that year when we could say 2020, right? And all of the sayings that go with that, kind of fun. We're kind of in between this time. We've just celebrated Christmas and all of the hype of that. Now we're anticipating the new year. And I want to spend some time reflecting on what God is up to and how he goes about doing what he does. Because we've just celebrated the Word become flesh. Right? That's the way John in his gospel puts it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But each Sunday of this year, we've also gathered around the Word of God, the Bible. And those two things are linked. They are one and the same. The Word of God and Jesus, the Word. And so now we anticipate a new year. Living our lives in that Word. Living our lives in the story of God. In the Word of God. And living our life in the Word. In Jesus Christ. And Christ in us. We don't know what the future holds, of course. But then the question is, can you trust a mere word? Just a little word? Can you trust it? You can, and here's why. Matthew writes in his gospel, Matthew chapter 13, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. And then he told them many things in parables, in words, stories, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And the disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? Or in other words, Jesus, how come you're always using words? Words are so weak. Words are a dime a dozen. Words can be cheap. What the disciples were looking for was action. They had heard Jesus speak about the coming kingdom of God, and they were excited about the kingdom of God coming. They wanted the kingdom of God to come with power, with force, with convincing power. And Jesus just kept telling stories, and it was getting frustrating for the disciples. Why do you just use words? As we anticipate a new year, we're probably thinking of all of the things that we'll busy our lives with, all of the action and all of the things to do, or all of the things we're supposed to do, or all of the things that we should have done. Can you trust a mere word? Can you place your life in the Word and expect that your life will be safe, will be good, will be exciting? That is how the kingdom of God is advanced, by mere words. So here's the first thing to note about the power of words and the power of story as it relates to the power of the gospel, about how God works in this world by words. Jesus says, the word of God is like a seed, a little tiny seed, so tiny, sometimes you can hardly see it. And that causes us some uncertainty. It causes for us some discomfort. The word of God, something as powerful, as big as the word of God, is a little tiny seed. A seed is dependent. It's dependent on good soil. It's dependent on the right conditions. It's dependent on proper cultivation. It's dependent on a farmer who cares. Seed is vulnerable. Seed is even weak and seemingly lifeless. And yet that's how God's kingdom comes, by God's word. It comes as a seed, as a mere word into a world full of action. It comes as the word made flesh, a little baby born in an insignificant little town that nobody noticed and hardly anybody paid attention. And yet the kingdom of God advances. It advances through proclamation. It advances by words. It advances by story. Story is like the currency of the church, just like money would be the currency for a business. You measure a business by whether it's making money. You measure a church by whether it has stories. Stories so that we can sing of God's faithfulness, so that we can be reminded of God's goodness, so that we can see the kingdom. Jesus says, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Are you listening? Are you really listening? The kingdom of God advances when the church tells stories. So I've invited several people to tell some stories, and the first one is going to go to Alice Kostelik. I'd like to invite her up. Where did she go? Did she escape? Oh, there she is. Yes. Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear.
In 1956, I was planning to emigrate.
Closer?
Okay. In 1956, I was planning to emigrate to Canada by myself to see my boyfriend, who is now my husband, for 62 years. But as time came closer to leaving, I became worried. What if it doesn't work out for us and between us? So, my dad, whom I worked for, asked me one day what was bothering me. So I told him what was on my mind, that I was worried. And I was worried that if it doesn't work out, how do I come back? Then he said, if things don't work out, I will pay your trip back. That really helped me. In the future, I would learn that the Lord would come through for me. I often think of the song, Trust and Obey. It happened so many years ago, but he still does. And he always will come through for us.
Thank you. by mere words. Has God worked his almighty kingdom in this world really just by words? Yes, indeed. The kingdom of God advances by the word. But here's another thing then. Not just that seed is so tiny and seemingly insignificant, but the seed is scattered, Jesus says. A sower comes into the field, that's God, and he scatters his word. And he scatters it not just generously, but apparently almost carelessly. No regard to where the seed might land. Sometimes on a hard path, sometimes on rocky soil, sometimes on thorny soil, and sometimes on good soil. With seed as precious as the word of God, surely a sower would want to plant efficiently, plan it out carefully, make sure that he's cordoned off the proper good soil, calculating his best return. But no, that's not how the kingdom of God advances, not by careful calculation, but by scattering the seed. There's no stinginess here, just generosity and only grace. God's kingdom advances not by force. You can't make a seed grow. The sower just comes and scatters seed. And you can't carefully calculate it for a good return. It's just thrown about. And we wonder what might happen. The Word of God works that way for the advance of the kingdom. God makes his way known with grace. God makes his way known with generosity. God makes his way known by seemingly carelessness. And that's what makes the risk of telling a story worth it. It's just cast about, and the soil receives it. Sometimes it's good soil. A story of God's faithfulness, a story of God's goodness, a story of God's presence in your life is always worth risking to tell. I'd like to invite Eric Hoogenrad to come up and tell his story that happened recently.
When Nathan first asked me to talk about God's faithfulness, I considered that God just is so faithful every day and has blessed me in so many ways. Sometimes, as some of you probably share as well, I read morning devotions and I feel like God is speaking to me directly at that particular moment for that particular time, and also how I was feeling at that time. God is good. However, as you may know, some of you may know that I recently lost my mom, and in this event, I experienced God's faithfulness in a very evident way. At the time, I was serving in Saipan for World Renew, and I found out from Lisa in the usual evening call that my mom had suffered a massive stroke, and she was in the hospital in Salmon Arm. Sitting in Saipan, my initial thought was that there was no way that I would be home in time, and I convinced myself, therefore, that I wouldn't make it home, and I'd be okay with that. But God knew better. One of the other volunteers that evening convinced suggested that I should try and contact World Renew and the FEMA staff who we were working with and try to arrange an early return. I was able to contact the National FEMA Travel Office in the morning, and literally within 15 minutes, this individual had arranged full travel back and canceled all the other flights and so on, just in a very short time, and had a flight out that evening. Although it took me a couple of days to get home and several flights from Saipan, I got home Sunday morning, and Lisa had packed our bags to drive up to Salmon Arm. I arrived in Salmon Arm to be with my mom before she passed away. More importantly, to me, I was able to spend time praying for her while she was struggling and was holding her hand along with my brother when she took her last breath. God is faithful, knowing our needs, and creates opportunities for us to share his love and provide peace in our hearts, no matter the situation. God placed the right people in the right place to enable me to have closure and peace in my mom's passing. He's faithful in loving us and caring for us when we are not even aware that we need his care.
Thanks. So seed is scattered. We have no control over it. Sometimes we feel helpless. But God's word advances the kingdom. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Here's the third thing that Jesus talks about in his parable, using words, advancing the kingdom. Seed is small, very tiny. And it gets scattered hither and thither. But that seed grows. It grows into a harvest. Despite how small a seed is, and that so much of the seed lands on even poor soil, there's a harvest. And it's huge. This is Jesus' point here in the parable. The harvest is unbelievable. In Matthew's time, a farmer would sow a field and he would expect to get, about 10 to 15 times as much as he had planted. That would be a normal yield. I have no idea what it would be like nowadays, but back then it was maybe 10 to 15 times as much. Jesus says, a harvest is going to come. When a farmer sows the seed, scatters it everywhere, some of it just dies off. And yet there's a harvest that Jesus even says dares to be 100 times, which would have been simply ridiculous back then. And even 30 times would have been unheard of. But a harvest comes. And God advances his kingdom by mere words. And we place our lives in a mere word of God. We place our lives in the context of the story of God, filled with words that people could go, you got to take control of your own life. You've got to determine your destiny. And we say, no, we will trust in the word. And it will bring a harvest. The word of God is powerful. You and I, we can trust it. And so no matter what occurs in 2020, we're staking our life on a word, the word of God. The word become flesh. It's remarkable. But because of the way that God has acted in the past, you hear the stories and you could multiply them. We know that God is faithful. We know that God is good. And we know that God will bring about a harvest. I'd like to invite Janet to come and tell her story. A story of harvest.
Some of you have heard this story before, but good stories are worth retelling. This is a story from Esperanza, And for those of you who don't know about Esperanza, it's a First Nations community on the far side of Vancouver Island, which is only accessible by boat. And before the boat, you're on a logging road. And before the logging road, you're on a really winding road. And before that, you're on a good road and a ferry. So it takes us a while to get there. And we have to take all our food for a week. Now, some of you have been busy just before Christmas trying to get food for Christmas. And so you can sort of sympathize with what it's like. I have to buy enough food for 30, 40 people for a week when you cannot go and get anything else. So one year we were there and we decided we'd invite the staff for lunch. And there was quite a big, there was quite a big staff that year. So I sort of counted out my potatoes, had just enough potatoes left for us for the next day. The meal went well. The next day, when I just had enough potatoes, Dean, who was in charge of the work, came up and he said, "We have a group of about 8 Indigenous leaders coming up from the States. They are visiting different mission stations along the coast and they would like to stay for supper. Can you feed them?" 8 extra people, 8 extra men who've been on a boat all day. Oh, I don't know. Okay, we'll make that do. Well, of course, most of you know that if you have a lot of extra people, you can't really suddenly produce extra meat. So it's the carbohydrates you sort of put extra to fill people up. But I didn't have potatoes. Okay, well, there's probably macaroni and rice somewhere here, but that's not going to go with the meal. What do I do with that? And this was when Bob Birkinshaw was there. He came into the kitchen and he said, "Are you okay?" I said, "Well, I'm a little worried." He said, "What do you want?" He said, "Do you have a bucket or a bowl or anything like that? Kind of big." He said, "We've just been moving the compost up at the greenhouse area. And at the back of the last compost pile, we found a few big potato plants. And we want something to put the potatoes in because we're just digging them up for you." So, I mean, the Lord just provides. How have those potatoes got there to be just exactly ready for us that day is incredible, but we had lots of food.
Curious that Jesus didn't include that in his types of soil, rocky soil, thorny soil, but no compost. But God even works through compost. You see, God's kingdom advances not by our greatness and not by our dramatic action, not by power, not by cleverness, not by force, but by the Word of God. Which means that in 2020, that's what we need to be paying attention to. No matter the circumstances or the situations of our lives, no matter what shape it takes, no matter what events occur, we need to be fixed on the Word of God. Mere words that everybody else might say, "You're going to stake your life on a word?" And yet that's how the kingdom of God advances. God's rule in this world advances by mere words. So keep watch. Wait. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear and be listening. God's word will continue to bring forth that kingdom of God in powerful ways, in ways that you and I will get to witness. So tell the stories to each other. Let's hear the stories. By a mere word, the kingdom of God advances if you have ears to hear. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the harvest that you promise. And so we lay our very lives before you on this, the last day of the year. And we entrust our lives to you, God. You who brings about a kingdom, who brings about your power and your authority and your rule by words. And so may we also speak those words of grace, of kindness, of love, of joy, peace, and hope, and life to the people around us, so that your kingdom may be advanced. And teach us, Lord, what it means to place our lives in your word. May we listen carefully in this coming year to your word. And may all honor and glory be to you, for you are the God of this universe. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. Thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand? Receive a blessing for today and for the year ahead. Jesus, speaking about a harvest, says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." And Jesus said, just before he left this earth, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Go in peace. Go in the hope of God. Go in God's strength. Amen.